Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, we study the topic, submitting to the truth. So according to our main theme of this CYC. And yesterday, how many groups record your discussion? Yesterday, we have a question. Share one your bad habit, one good habit, right? Did you record it, the group? And can you turn it to counselor? Because tomorrow we have a class, right? The top title is, what is the title for tomorrow? It's a new pattern, right? We want to have a new pattern. So if you can see that you have a good habit regarding to our faith, our life, lifestyle, there will be good reference for others to learn. Okay, so beside the Bible teaching, we want to learn from every one of us. So we can share our good habit to others. So we can start to practice after this CYSC. Okay? So please turn your minutes of the discussion to consider. Okay? Thank you. All right. So today, the note will be given to you later. So you have to just listen, because I do not have enough time to give you the note. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, 7 to 10. James chapter 4, 7 to 10. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Okay. So, this is the Bible verse we used to develop this topic. We have learned, we know what God requires of us. We also know our identity, right? And we crucify our own habit. Now, we have to prepare our heart first to be able to obey God's word. If we can really have a right mindset, we make this determination and we know why we have to do it. Then the next step will be we have to establish a new pattern to really submit to the truth. So, you know, we usually mention here we are supposed to live in the world, right? But not of the world. So because our citizenship is in heaven. This is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 said. So we are God's chosen people. We are supposed to listen to him. Because he is our God, he is our Lord. He is my master. We position ourselves as his servant. Now, sometimes we call Yes, we are children, right? We are children. But we also have to remember he is God and we are his servant, his master. So we have to do whatever he wants. If he wants us to go, then we go. But in reality, we often listen to our own desire, right? Our own thought. We just cannot simply say, okay, I believe what you say and I do. Most of the time we can see that it's too hard. How can I do it? Just like Abraham. But the reality is, Abraham, he passed the test. So what are the problems in us? We have to, in order to be able to submit to the truth, we have to identify what is the problem inside. So how can we overcome this kind of thought? We just cannot have a faith enough to believe what God said. So in order to totally obey, and then let's, if we can obey, actually we can establish a good relationship with God. So just like as a parent, you can see your parents will be greatly delighted if you listen to them. This is nature. As a master, then he expects his sermon listen to him. Just like if you have a car, and if a car can talk. Just like in a movie, a car can talk, right? Or can dialogue with you. And if you say, I want to go to that place, and the car answers to you, it's too loud, the law is too dangerous, I don't want to go. Can you change to another destination? I want to go to that place, I want to go there. Will you try the car? No, right? So we have to understand the master's heart. If he wants to go there, then we go. Okay. If we can submit totally, then we will receive blessing in return. So that we are going to study first the major obstacle that prevents us from obeying to God's word. Let me put it in the smaller. You just take a little bit. The major obstacle we have to understand. As a human, we have a flesh. After Adam sinned against God, we all live in this sinful nature. So naturally, our human being tend to not listen to someone. We listen to ourselves, fulfill our own desire. So it's very sad. We have been born in this way. But Jesus come to change it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. Okay. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins too, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. 3. Among whom also we all once conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You read it carefully. Here he mentioned, before Jesus saved us, what was the situation of what were we are? We just actually walk according to the course of this world. We are under the control of the prince of the power of the air. In verse 3, we all conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Okay. So these three main themes, right? The cause of this world. Second, the prince of the power of the air. The third, the lust of flesh. Okay. So this major, this is by sinful nature, and this actually are the three main obstacles for us not be able to submit to God. So the first obstacle is the world. Actually, this we want to also combine with James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. The first obstacle, let's talk about flesh desire first. Okay? Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 1 to 3. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Okay? So you look at carefully this passage from verse 1 to 3. Here it says, wars and fights come from our desire for pleasure, the war in our members. You're talking about in the church, within the church, maybe have some disagreement. Among members, they even fight to each other. But also talking about ourselves in our heart. In our heart. This is actually is a problem. Within the church, this lost the harmonious. No harmony, then there's no peace, right? But in our heart, if we have to fight or struggle with our conscience, with what we know but we don't want to listen, and this always conflict. Okay? So conflict and fight and the strife don't originate from outside, right? But they come from inside, from our desire. From this verse we can see our desires. So actually, we can see anger comes from blocked desire. See, when do you tend to be angry? When? If your desire being fulfilled, then you are okay. Just like kids, right? Isaac, if you don't give him the candy or yogurt he wants to eat, then he turns to this uneasy. He just cannot sit there. He wants it. So end up, people just feed him whatever he wants. And then he just cannot take it, right? So he paid the price. Sometimes he become angry. Yes, we grew up in this stage too, right? So if our desire was blocked, then we are angry. So that's why you can see Cain. Let's take this example. Abel and Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. You look at the Bible carefully. Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. Okay. The brothers, these two brothers, they offer sacrifice to the Lord. But verse 5 said, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. But Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Wow. And 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why have your countenance fallen? 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Okay? So Cain, he can see how his desire is my offering. You're supposed to accept. Okay? But end up, God didn't. God rejected. So he was so angry. The anger resulted in the murder of his brother. We know the story, right? Okay, so murder is the outward expression of the inner emotion of anger. So this come out with war and the fight within family, between husband and wife, always the same, or among your siblings, or friends. In the society, you can see all of the same trend, same thing. So nothing is new, actually. So the desire, you can see how the desire works. So the B say, the strong desire to have what someone else has gone result. Wrong button. James chapter 4, verse 2. The desire. Say just like Cain, when he considered my brother's offering mean accept, but mine not. Why? So he want, but God just rejected. In the same way, you can see verse 4, chapter James 4, 2, you lust and do not have. And then they turn to the consequence is you murder and the covet, and the cannot attempt. The same thing, right? So even Cain, he killed his brother, but his offering could not be accepted either. So the problem is not his brother, the problem is his own heart. God already gave him the instruction how to turn his offering, be accepted by God. His conduct have to change, right? But he want to kill his brother. So, it's a big issue. Now, become our human nature. People they tend to in this mindset. So, turn to verse 3, James chapter 4, verse 3. So the way to handle the fresh desire is prayer, right? You can see verse 3, verse 4 later. He said, you fight and war,
yet you do not have because you do not ask. So if we have desire, then what is supposed to do?
To pray, right?
To pray. So verse 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So you do have a note, right? Good. So the problem is we have to know what to pray for. Not just, okay, yes, if we have something in heart, pray for it. But don't forget, we have to pray according to God's will. You can ask for whatever you want. This is what Jesus said. But it's not enough. Just pray. So we may spend 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, in CYC, praying. But someone may say, I just have not any feeling about God. What is the problem? The problem is not the prayer. Right? The problem is in our heart. So we have to know what to pray. Okay? So you have noticed so easier. Where I am now. Okay? So, we need a right motives, selfish motive for fulfilling our own pleasure guarantee unanswered prayer. If our prayer just to make myself happy, just self-centered, then of course, God will not allow this to happen because God wants us to grow. He wants us to really get to know his heart. God is a God who is good, right? He's righteous. He wants, just like a very loving father, to educate his child. So if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. This is in 1 John chapter 5, 14 to 15. If we ask anything according to his will. So now the problem is, what is God's will, right? If I know, then of course I pray. I pray for it, and then God answers. It's so simple. Just like this connection, man and God, the connection, the channel is very smooth. So nothing blocked it, and of course prayer will be answered. In John chapter 15, verse 16, your fruit shall remain that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So in John chapter 15, Lord Jesus is talking about we have to bear fruit. Right? We have to bear fruit. We have to do his commandment. And then he treats us as his friend, not his servant. Okay. Because John 15, this chapter, we use a lot. We turn to this chapter often. You think about the meaning, what Jesus asked. Okay? So the good example in the Bible character, among the characters, who actually overcome this fresh desire and totally submit to God. Submit. We can see Daniel, right? Daniel and his three friends, they faced the situation. The king's meal, wine, the eating and drinking, this everyday's task. Yeah, they are hungry. They want to eat, right? The fancy food, that delicacy, right? So they want to submit to the truth. So I better choose another one. So they overcome the desire. How about our Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the his task, the bitter cup, be crucified. When Lord Jesus was in Gethsemane, in the prayer, he know what is going to happen, right? He will be arrested, and then will be accused, and then be judged, and punished, and crucified. You know, during the SSC, we have a brother to share with the students about how the crucifixion going. When Jesus was whipped and in thought by those soldiers and the crown, you can see how painful it would be. Can you imagine you are naked in front of everyone and was beaten? Can you imagine? Can you endure this kind of the pain? Yeah. So Jesus know what is coming, right? But he submit himself to God's will. So in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus pray in his prayer, if possible, let this bitter cup. I don't want to eat. Don't want to drink. If it's possible, then let me skip. But according to your word, not mine. Let's turn to Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 5. Hebrew chapter 5. Hebrew chapter 5, verse 7. Seven to nine. Hebrew 5:7-9. Hebrew, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and the supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. 9. And having been perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is called obedience. Obedience. Jesus cried out, but in order to finish the salvation, he just submit to this God's will. And end up he become the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now Jesus finished his word. Now it's our turn. Are we going to obey to him totally, just like him? Okay. Another example is Abraham. Abraham. He departed his country, kindred, father's house, as the Lord has spoken to him. Genesis chapter 12. So, submitted to God's word. He had to overcome so many things. Right? Fears, uncertainty, and his comfort zone. Or everything. We have our own comfort zone. Sometimes we even reluctant to talk to some strangers, right? Because don't feel good, because we don't know what to say. We try to avoid. If it's possible, then we avoid it. Let others do it. This actually is our flesh. Okay, so first, in order to submit to the truth, overcome this flesh. Second, the word. James chapter 4. Come back to James chapter 4. From 4 to 5. 4 to 5. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Okay, fine. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? So, friendship with the world is enmity with God. I think this word it tend to be very loving, maybe friendly, want to reach to everybody, but it's a problem. So we have to be careful. There is no middle ground. We cannot be friend with God at the same time be friend with the world. We choose one only, cannot be both. Okay. But the fact is, God, He chooses us. He wants our friendship because He already called us friends, right? Not servants. He called us friends, so God wants to be our friend. But do we really be His friend? That's the problem. Oh. Sometimes we tend to be a friend of this world because it seems to have more fun. Oh. Because the world will fulfill our fresh desires. So this just become a big hinder to our faith. So a true friend is someone whom you may lay down your life for. Oh, this is in John 15, John chapter 15, verse 13 to 15. Jesus mentioned it. Because Jesus, He laid down His life for us. He called us His friend. So, consider friends. Friends, you and your friend must have some common interest. So your life can overlap. So, friends are loyal to each other and put best interests at heart. So just like if you're a good friend, you will always remember what he wants, right? His birthday, or what he liked, or his favorite dishes, or the colors. You just be very considerate about your friend. So if we are friend of the world, then we be loyal to the world. Then if we have interest of the world at heart. But if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. This is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Okay, so if we are a friend of the world, then we become the enemy of God. This is what the Bible says. We have to take it seriously. So, that's why it's a spiritual adultery, because the Spirit of God who dwells in us, yearn jealously, right? In verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5, God requires our whole heart, not partial heart. So this is why in Ephesians, Paul, he used husband and wife as an analogy for the relationship between church and Christ. So there is no need. We have to love him wholeheartedly and make him happy. So be a friend of God. Friendship with God means means obedient to his will and do whatever he commands us. This is very important. Be friend of God. So we must be aware of the steps. If we be friend of the world, then the thing is going to happen next. Step by step, we will eventually turn away from the Lord. Because you can see, these steps, the different level. First, friendship with the world. James chapter 4, verse 4. Next, we will be polluted by the world. We will be polluted differently. Just like verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. We definitely will become double-minded. Yes, said sometimes for the Lord, but at the same another for the world, for my friend. Next, love of the world, the interest in the heart. Okay, eventually we will be conformed to the world. So that's why Romans 12 is reminded again and again, we have to renew our heart. By the help of Holy Spirit, we do need to renew every day. Okay, so the way to overcome the world is the love of God and the faith. So we have to understand God's love through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ manifests the love of God. He shows us what is so-called love. He loved us first. Through him, we know what is love, the true love, right? And this is the victory that has overcome the world, faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5, let's turn to this verse. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Why? Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. So, this is the love and the faith. Okay. So, let the love of Christ compel us. So, in the prayer, what do we pray for? Pray the love of God fill in our heart. So, this love will become a driving force for us to serve, to submit to the truth. Okay, so example, overcoming the world and submitting to the truth. The poor widow, in Luke chapter 21, the poor widow, she had only two mites. She offered it. Apostle who forsook all and followed Jesus, in Luke chapter 5. They have the two boats full of fish. But they forsook the things, then follow Jesus. Apostle Paul, right? He has nothing. He become poor. For in order to receive the riches of salvation, he become poor. He forsook the reward. What he had possessed, he used to have so famous, good life, but he wanted to have Jesus rather than the world. The third obstacle is the pride and the Satan. In James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? So Satan is another big factor. Satan uses all different ways to catch our heart. So the way is, Satan's way is pride, right? So if we live for the flesh and for the world, the natural result is we become proud. If we have something from this society, we tend to be proud of ourselves. I have been recognized as a certain level, as a position. Right? I can earn money. So success, the so-called success, eventually become our idol. So our eyes, our eyesight just will be blocked. So pride is the root to all sin, right? Pride comes from where? Satan. Satan's character himself, very proud of. So pride is one of his main tools against us. Oh. James 3, 4, 14 to 16. James 3, 14 to 16. The wisdom from above, or the wisdom from earth. You can see, no. Anything from Satan is just turned out to chaos among people. So, a proud who may fight with others is also someone who refuses to repent of sin and humble himself. So, it's a proud, you know, if we have pride in heart, we cannot have true repentance. It's true. So by pride comes nothing but strife. No? But with the well advice is wisdom. So this is from Proverbs 13. So pride brings strife, but God resists the proud. This is in verse 6 said. So humility invites God's grace. With humility, then God's grace will shine upon us. Pride invites God's opposition. Okay, so the way to effectively resist the devil is submit to God. So this kind of related, right? We submit to God, then devil has no way to work on because our heart has been well surrounded by submitting to God. We want to listen to God's way. So there's no hole for Satan to work on. In order to resist the devil, then we submit to God. The more we submit to God, then there is no any hole for Satan to work.